Lights out on the hour. It is the hour of the time. Lights out for the curfew of your body, soul, and mind.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening. Tonight, we will be going into part four in our series on the symbolic prophecy of the Great Pyramid according to the mystery schools and the secret societies from their own literature. But first, the cursory announcements. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time or HOTT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. That's for here in Arizona. And in Canada, you can call 613-733-4324. 613-733-4324. Now, if you'd like to email me, ladies and gentlemen, you may do so at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a few important announcements. Of course, we are listener supported, and without your continued support, ladies and gentlemen, we can't continue to expand our reach and our research and our speaking engagements and lights and phone and water. You get the gist. You can help support the Hour of the Time through the purchase and donation for DVD presentations, books, PDF libraries, MP3 packages, or individual episodes, and they're on our website, The Hot Shop, via our website, hourofthetime.com. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that said, because I want to cover a lot of ground, here's your courtesy break at the beginning to get you something to eat or drink and something to write with, because we got a lot of more dates, a lot more lines and places and locations and names to bring up, so you're going to have to take a studious notes. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Tonight again, Tuesday, the 19th, January, 2010, with part four of the symbolic prophecy of the Great Pyramid. Now, we ended the last installment, part three, with older dates that, according to the mystery schools and the secret societies, were all predicted key events throughout history in the Great Pyramid. And then we'll bring it to more modern times, as they call it, in their writings, because these are all very old writings, ladies and gentlemen, I'm using. Following out one of the prophetic indications and measuring it off in inches, the date of October 29th, 1929 was obtained as being a date of importance to America and many sections of the world in an economic manner. This proved to be the time of the great financial earthquake that affected the stock market and economic conditions generally throughout the whole world. Every student of the pyramid's prophecies, following the system outlined by Mr. Davidson and others, and interpreting various other indications, fully anticipated the world crash which occurred in 1929. Another date indicated the disarmament conference in Geneva and all that it represented. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, this is another chicken and the egg scenario. Think about that. The elite, if you want to call them, the blue blood of the East Coast, the insiders, the illumined ones, the initiates, whatever lingo you prefer, all anticipated the world crash, and ironically, those who survived the world crash and came out with more control, ladies and gentlemen, after the Great Depression, happened to be members of secret societies, mystery schools, illumined ones. So for their self-fulfillment, since they are pushing revelations, as I've stated and proved so many times on the air, did they interpret this meaning because they crashed the system? And that way it would all match and again point the finger some other direction. Just think about it. The chicken and the egg theory. Which came first? Now, ladies and gentlemen, to move into Mr. Lewis's writing from the AMORC, a date in 1932 had a very definite association with another date, that of September 16, 1936. According to these two dates and their indications, it appeared from the symbolism that in America there would be a great change in the spirit of the presidency and in the constitutional form of government. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can email me tonight, January 19th, Tuesday, why this is live, I'll keep track, I'll look at the time on the email, why this is live on the Hour of the Time, and tell me what that event was, you can have this entire series on MP3 shipped to you. I'm gratis, free, for doing a little homework and paying attention. It was plainly indicated that just prior to 1936, the American nation would adopt a moderate form of dictatorship with a definite tendency towards state socialism. The indications were that this modified form of government would run into the spring of 1937 and pass the fateful date of September 16, 1936. The latter date was indicated by the measurements, which just reached and began to enter the king's chamber, which, according to the symbolism of the pyramid, is the hall of judgment and of resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, according to these indications, it would appear that in September of 1936, a great change is to come into the life and spirit of the government of the United States, whereby its former constitutional activities will be judged, and from the judgment will arise a new and better form of government, rebirthed, resurrected, based upon modifications growing out of the judgment. Other indications reveal that the people of Israel, as well as the people of Great Britain and America, shall pass through the Hall of Judgment and Resurrection just prior to September 1936. And, according to the Great Pyramid, on that date, the 16th, at 1:40 a.m., there will be some important act performed that will be of international importance, but especially affecting the people of Israel, Great Britain, and the United States. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your other quiz. Somebody tell me what happened then. Not the same person either. If you won the first quiz, the second quiz here, tell me what happened, and you also can get the MP3 of this series, Symbolic Prophecy of the Great Pyramid, taken from the Mystery Schools, sent to you for free. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how would this gentleman know that certain categories, windows, and years were magically going to create something, and Mr. Lewis is an insider, know that it would affect America to an extent that, quote, there would be a great change in the spirit of the presidency and in the constitutional form of government. A definite tendency towards state socialism. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this book was published prior to these years and dates that I'm just giving you now. The chicken and the egg. As an insider, did he know that those events would be pushed? And in pushing them, give validity to their mystery schools, their illumination. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Again, this book that I took that passage from by Lewis, written before these dates, clearly predicting there'd be a great change in the spirit of the presidency and in the constitutional form of government. A moderate form of dictatorship with a definite tendency towards state socialism. That was quiz number one. So I want to make sure you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, and realize the chicken and the egg brought up tonight, the ramifications. More validity for the pushing of revelations. Other dates indicate that the effect of this important event will show its culminations on the 27th of November, 1939, the 20th of August in 1953. Relating these dates to biblical phraseology, which is very easy to do, ladies and gentlemen, because of the special scriptural keys that they find on the night, that are contained in the prophecies of the pyramid. We find that on the night of September 15th and 16th, 1936, there will be heralded the Feast of the Trumpets, and that the seventh angel of Revelation will sound the seventh trumpet. This is referred to in the 10th chapter, 7th verse of the book of Revelation. The Pyramid Prophecies, according to Mr. Lewis, author of The Mystic Life of Jesus, clearly indicate that in various sections of the world there will be a general gathering and great conference, either secret or semi-secret, marking the beginning of a very definite period that will not be long in revealing itself to the world. Can someone tell me what that was, ladies and gentlemen? That will be the third Ungratis free set of this entire series on one disc in MP3 format sent to you. Email me, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, looking a little further forward, Mr. Lewis says, we find that a prophecy indicated by the southern edge of the epochs of the pyramid gives the time of the 31st of January in the year 1947. This prophecy indicates that the period of resurrection and regeneration will be completed. It indicates also a reconstruction of church and state in both America and Great Britain. I'll throw that one in. There's another freebie disc. If you can email me at hourofthetime@hotmail.com tonight, 19th January 2010, Tuesday, while this is live, and tell me what that event was. Other measurements are being made to interpret the prophecies of the next 10 to 50 years, and there will probably be revealed within the next few years. It should be noted that in addition to the relationship of these prophesized dates to world affairs, each symbolized indication is associated with biblical or scriptural prophecies as found in the writings in the Holy Bible and other sacred writings of the East. The elaborate charts that are necessary for the tabulating of these measurements and prophetic indications are impossible to reproduce in a small book like this. Inasmuch as some of the charts cover many square feet and reduce too greatly the many delicate lines and crossings, they become obliterated and the significance of the text impossible to read. However, the brief outline given in this chapter will indicate to what extent and to what degree of precision the prophecies of the pyramid have been discovered, revealed, and eventually fulfilled. What lies still hidden in the unmeasured and untabulated dimensions and significations of the pyramid is as great a mystery as the pyramid itself.
Thank you.
gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley, on the Hour of the Time this evening. Part 4 of our series on the symbolic prophecy of the Great Pyramid, taken from the Mystery Schools and Secret Society's own writing. 19th tonight of January 2010, Tuesday. 4 quizzes so far, 4 chances, ladies and gentlemen. If you've taken your notes and listened to previous series as I've done, you can win the entire series here on a disc in MP3 format, every broadcast in the series. Of course, mailed after we're done, because I'm still not done. To you for free. Another reason to pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. I have to keep stepping out because my poor little doggy Cubby, some of you have seen her, got into something. So she went from not walking and stumbling, and I thought she was going to die in the last 6 hours, to up and getting around again and thirsty and drinking water, all through the use of herbs. The same herbal formulas, nervines, etc., that a person would use for the same circumstances in a human being. And those will be taught, in fact, at the Pennsylvania Conference by Master Herbalist, Hour of the Time's own in-house Master Herbalist, at the PA Conference in April. Email me, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, if you're interested in attending. Called the vet. I've made friends with him just because it's a small town. And I would have been looking at a cool overnight stay and blood work, etc., for this today. He told me. Around a cool $750 Federal Reserve notes. Did it for about $1.50 today, ladies and gentlemen, but I still want to check on her. So, taking from Mr. Lewis' work, we're going to go into the secret passageways of the pyramid. Now, in addition to the secret passages, chambers, halls, and other features of the main or central part of the pyramid, which were for centuries unknown and still constitute a mystery study, there have been traditions for many years regarding the other passageways in the pyramid or beneath it, which have not yet been fully revealed, and the passageways that lead to the pyramid from nearby points. In any real study of the pyramid and its mystical use, the environs of the pyramid must be taken into consideration, including the Sphinx, the courtyard in front of the Sphinx, and the temple that adjoined the Sphinx and which has recently been excavated. According to the traditions and some of our mystical manuscripts that have been released in a limited manner in recent years, the Great Pyramid is but the central point or feature of a magnificent symbolical plot or section of Egypt that contains a mystery in each square yard of its surface. As with every other temple of mystery, there are stories, reports, and traditions which scientists deny and many so-called authorities ridicule. But in the past few centuries, a number of these traditions have been lifted out of the category of mere mystical fiction into fact by the excavations that have taken place. For centuries, there was a whispered story to the effect that there was a ceremonial court or courtyard in front of the Sphinx, buried beneath the sands, in which court initiation ceremonies were held prior to the entrance into the pyramid, where you would be sworn in. Court initiation ceremonies. And you can be sworn in. Interesting. For centuries, this whispered story was ridiculed by geologists and some historians and by many of the natives and officials of Egypt. However, in recent years, The sand around, and especially in front of the Sphinx, has been removed, revealing a very beautiful pavement of a court between the paws and in front of the breast of the Sphinx. And in the center of this court, a symbolical altar, such as had no use in any of the priesthood religions of Egypt, but was known to have its place in the temples of mystery for initiation ceremonies. Thus the sunlight has touched upon the ancient pavement by the removal of the sands, and the light of truth has confirmed one of the old traditions. Another of the traditions was to the effect that a great movable stone or slab in front of the breast of the Sphinx, between its paws, blocked the entranceway to its secret passage that ran beneath the Sphinx and beneath the sands to the center of the Great Pyramid, and that this long passageway was the secret ceremonial passageway from the court in front of the Sphinx to the rising passageways and chambers in the pyramid itself. So we have the symbolic altar where you can stand in court and take an oath of allegiance or a swearing for initiation before you enter into the chambers. Old stories told how this great stone with its symbolic writings, warnings, and laws for the initiate would move mysteriously upon invisible hinges and open to the commands of candidates standing in the court or in front of it upon the pronunciation of the proper word. Now, I know for a fact I have sent that out in another secret society writing in PDF form to a lot of listeners. Someone tell me what that word is, ladies and gentlemen. Win yourself the series on MP3 for free. If you email me tonight at hourofthetime@hotmail.com, Tuesday, January 19th, 2010. Now, upon the pronunciation of the proper word and the mysterious opening of this doorway, the candidates with the official torchbearer and guardian would enter the passageway chanting. And as the last note of the chant was sounded, the great stone door would silently move to a closed position, and the world would be shut out again. While the pilgrimage of initiates moved onward towards the pyramid, beneath the sands of the desert, hidden from all the world, and in a soundless passage that was significant of the early period of the universe when the world was without sound. The recently excavated temple adjoining the Sphinx was not believed to be in existence either, and now it is looked upon as the preparation chamber for the initiates before they entered the court in front of the Sphinx. As one looks down into the uncovered chambers of this temple adjoining the pyramid, one wonders what other use there could have been for a subterranean temple or any kind of temple in this peculiar position alongside the ceremonial court of the Sphinx. Damn, Mr. Lewis, peculiar position. That's hard to blow out there. Still, scientists, historians, and officials scoff at the idea that it had anything to do with initiation ceremonies. In recent years, the great stone slab, firmly fixed against the breast of the Sphinx in front of the two paws, has been revealed and uncovered, and upon it are symbolical writings and warnings that may be interpreted in various ways. But they certainly have significance to candidates of the mysteries and to the expectant initiate. Speaking of the impossibility of a huge stone this size and weight moving of its own accord upon invisible hinges, let us not forget that there was one other court of mystery at one time where such things did occur. This other court of mystery, heavy gates guarded it, the entranceway to this court. Hold up. Let me take that. Sorry about that. One of the Heckle and Jekylls didn't want to speak. Anyway, we were on to talking about the impossibility of a huge stone of this size and weight moving on its own accord upon invisible hinges. And we have to look at another court of mystery where such things did occur. Heavy gates guarded the entranceway to this court, and they could not be opened until a sacred ceremony was held around the altar before them. Here, with fire burning upon the altar and the chanting of voices, at the crucial moment of the spiritual ritual, the huge gates automatically opened and the devotees were permitted to enter. Within the walls, they found a temple there in the court, and fountains that would play with streams of water through the effect of music and chanting. Science investigated these mysteries and found that one master mechanic of the time, known as Heron of Alexandria, utilized some of the great knowledge of the laws of physics known to the Egyptian mystery schools and constructed many marvelous pieces of mechanism that operated through laws and principles rediscovered only in modern times by eminent scientists. Ladies and gentlemen, I suggest you go look up his mechanizations, Heron of Alexandria. They are amazing. Boyle's Law at work in a lot of it, but expansion, contraction of gases, liquids. If the great gates which Heron invented would move in some mysterious manner through natural laws, there is no reason for us to doubt the possibility of a huge stone gate moving in the same manner before the Sphinx in Egypt. Especially since Heron of Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, learned his great knowledge of the laws of physics from the Egyptian mystery schools. There are still many stories told and many secret or private explanations accompanied with diagrams and architectural designs given regard the passageways connecting the Sphinx with the pyramid. And these give color to many strange incidents referred to in the secret writings of the ancients. Some of these underground passageways and their connections are shown in the diagrams. Until greater excavations are made around the world, and these passageways are actually revealed to the public and to the light of day, so that they may be photographed and entered under special permission, their existence must remain as part of the traditions. For this is the law of the mystery schools and still in force. That which is not revealed to the public remains a secret. And the public is invited to accept the traditions or reject them as it may see fit. The stronger the denial on the part of the various persons of authority in regard to the existence of some of the secret passageways and temples, the stronger is one's faith. For such also seems to be the law of human nature when dealing with things of this strange land. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who listened and took me up on my offer, please go to plate 3, 4, and 5, and a lot of this description will make more sense. I find the book. Now, Mr. Lewis goes on to talk about strange facts. Because of the various mysterious nature of the subject itself, and because of the many traditions, weird, that have surrounded the pyramid, many pamphlets, books, magazines, and newspaper articles have been published dealing with the pyramid from various angles. And many of those have been written by those who are extremely fanatical, illogical, and unfamiliar with the real background of the history of Oriental mysticism. For this reason, one will find religious and political fanatics using the pyramid for dissertations and discourses in which ridiculous and far-fetched prophecies and predictions are made in the hope of strengthening various religions or political contentions. The chicken and the egg. The student of the pyramid should always judge the reliability of anything that is written and published about the pyramid, of course, by judging the author's motive. If the motive appears to be to support some strange religious rite, dogma, or creed, one should beware of any coloring and imaginary conditions that may be presented in the description of the pyramid and its predictions. The motive of this publication, ladies and gentlemen, is solely to emphasize the mysterious origin and purpose of the pyramid, independent of any cult, any religion, or any political support that may be found in the revelations. It is deliberately biased in favor of the idea or postulation that the pyramid was built as a temple of mystical initiation and not merely as an elaborate tomb to satisfy the vanity of some king. There are many strange and peculiar facts connected with the Great Pyramid that may or may not have their foundations in truth or in related facts. It is claimed, for instance, that at the time that the pyramid was built, the sun at noon passed immediately over the pyramid, so that when the sun was at its zenith at noon, there was no shadow on any of the four sides of the pyramid. This is not true today, and scientific explanation state that this is because of the change in the heavens and in the rotation of the earth that has occurred in the past centuries. We know that the precession of the equinoxes and the change of the axis of the earth, or rotation of the pole position, have made changes of various kinds, which could explain why the sun does not cast shadow on some sides of the pyramid today, if it did not do so centuries ago. Another claim is that one of the passageways pointing upward towards the heavens from the center of the pyramid was originally directed towards the pole star, and that if one stood in the center chamber, looking upward through one of these passageways towards the outer opening in the pyramid, the pole star could be seen. This may or may not be true, but there is a possibility of its having been true. It would further indicate the excellent knowledge which the Egyptian creators of the pyramid had of astronomical laws and principles. And it would have been natural for them to have planned the pyramid in this manner, since the pole star is even today a central point in the heavens from which to make measurements and locate positions on the face of the earth. The so-called King's Chamber, in which there remains today a huge stone casket without any lid covering it, was not a burial chamber and could not have been used as such. The stone coffin was not made, as were any of the coffins in the days when kings, pharaohs, or eminent people were buried in Egyptian tombs. And the original hieroglyphs that covered the sides and probably the top stone, although hardly discernible now, were not like those that were used on tombs. The other arrangements of the room and the markings on the walls were not like those of other tombs either. The stone that lay upon the top of the casket has disappeared. And today, every inch of the walls and low ceilings of that chamber is covered with initials, names, and dates ruthlessly cut into the walls and ceilings by the thousands of visitors who have had entrance to that room in years gone by when extreme care was not used in regard to the admission. This has desecrated, destroyed, and obliterated most of the original finish and markings of this chamber. The coffin that still remains in the King's Chamber was undoubtedly used in the same manner that a coffin or casket is used in many ancient initiation ceremonies and is still symbolically used in the initiations of some fraternities. Around this stood the officers and the candidate, and there was a symbolical ceremony involving the laws of transition, regeneration, resurrection, and reincarnation. Ladies and gentlemen, tell me what fraternity uses that ceremony. This is an easy one. And you too can get a series, this series, on one disc in MP3 format. I gave that one away. One of the ascending passages, the principal one that has been discovered, is the Hall of Illumination. Because, as the candidate ascended, he reached a greater height in his symbolic attainment of mystical light. This hallway, shown in illustrations and diagrams, is strangely formed. I told you you'd want those plates, ladies and gentlemen. But this is due to the fact that each of its lines and dimensions and part of its form is involved in the scheme of prophetic indications. In ascending this passageway today, one has to use a torch because of the darkness. While in some other passages, the ceilings are so low that one has to crawl upon hands and knees. Structural engineers who have studied the design and construction of the pyramid point out many facts to prove that the designers of the pyramid were really experts in the matter. The fact, for instance, that the king's chamber is not the precise center of the pyramid is pointed out as a structural feature of necessity. The manner in which the stones are placed to and afford an opening above the king's chamber is pointed out as a method of giving special support to protect the ceiling of the king's chamber. The purpose of the various very narrow air vents ascending from the passageways or chambers to protected openings in the outer wall is considered an engineering necessity that would have to be adopted today. The existence of the various underground passageways is still very greatly disputed by various authorities. On the other hand, eminent men have from time to time given excellent arguments for their existence, and in recent years, soundings and measurements have been made which have verified the claims made in the past that such passageways do exist. The entire base and surrounding area of the Great Pyramid has not been completely explored. Other passageways, such as that leading from the Sphinx to the Pyramid, and in other directions, will probably be discovered at some future time if all of the indications are correct. There are ancient manuscripts to be found in India and parts of the Orient referring to a great master and divinely created earthly being who had his youthful initiation in the Great Pyramid. Most of these statements undoubtedly refer to Jesus. It must be remembered that in many of the Oriental lands and among the writers of mystical literature, the name of Jesus meant nothing, for it was purely a local name of significance of interest to the Jews. To the mystery schools, he was known as Christus, or by similar names which were too sacred to be included in their writings. Whether these references to such an initiation in the pyramid are true or not will probably never be proved beyond the doubt of those who prefer to believe that Jesus Christ, in his youth, had no special earthly preparation or initiation of any kind. Much has been said in times past regarding the epics of the pyramid, which is now missing. It has been claimed that it was with gold and glittered brilliantly in the sun and helped to make the pyramid visible and significant at great distances. We know, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, we know that in centuries past, when warring armies were centered in Europe, the tombs were raided and gold of all kinds was taken from them to be carried to other countries and used for warring purposes or for the enrichment of the nation. Napoleon's army, for instance, is credited with having done more destructive work in Egypt without Napoleon's approval than any other army. It is said that his soldiers at one time willfully and maliciously shot at the face of the Sphinx to see if they could destroy it. And, having found it difficult to do more than knock off small parts, abandoned the pastime. It is claimed also that the gold apex of the pyramid was removed because of its value. Other traditions say that the vast amount of gold that was contained in the holy temples, tombs, and sacred places of Egypt represented far more gold than could ever have been produced through mining processes in any part of the world at the time these temples and places were built. Therefore, it is argued that the Egyptian mystery schools knew the art of transmutation, and that thin sheets of lead were transmuted into gold for lining the caskets and for covering mummy cases or covering the walls of tombs. Certain it is that all of this gold that once adorned these temples, according to ancient writings and carvings on the tombs themselves, has been removed. Whether it was transmutated gold, which would have had the same value as any other gold, is a point that has not been proved. That the mystics in some of the mystery schools knew the art of transmutation is a fact. But whether they could produce such an enormous amount of gold by their process is another question. And structures. Some of the other pyramids differ considerably from the Great Pyramid. The pyramid at Cholula was found on top and surmounted by a temple dedicated to one of the mythological gods. On the other hand, the Great Pyramid of Izamal is unique in that it consists of two pyramidal piles of masonry, one on top of the other. The pyramid at Uxmal is probably the most stately in form and proportion and consists of three stages and supports an ornate temple. An interesting fact is that the cross, nowadays recognized as the symbol of Christianity, is found in its primitive form in the carvings in the pyramid and is found in other places associated with the mysteries. Even in some of the statuettes in other lands, such as Guatemala, Nicaragua, and localities of Central America, the cross can be found. The cross was not originally a purely religious symbol, and certainly not a sectarian symbol. It was, many years after the crucifixion, in fact, several centuries, that the cross was adopted as the distinctive emblem of Christianity. The crux ansata, consisting of part of a cross surmounted by an oval, and which is seen most frequently in Egypt, especially in the hands of gods and goddesses, and is called the key of life, was invented or designed by the mystery schools as a symbol of immortality and as a symbol of life on earth. It was originally meant to represent the male and female sex organs, which carried on the process of reproduction. The reproduction of seed and the reproduction of living things of their own species represented to the early mystics the great mystery that they could observe and direct in its action. The idea developed that since each species could reproduce itself continually, this was proof of the immortality of something in the seed. Thus, the symbol became a sacred emblem of the continuity of life or immortality. As time passed, the association of the symbol to the sex organs was forgotten, and the beautiful thought of immortality became the paramount idea associated with this key of life. The process of reproduction, biologically, are still the greatest mysteries confronting the scientist as well as the layman. Markings on the wall of the pyramid show that the pyramid day, as a basis for all measurements and computations began at midnight, and the pyramid year begins at the autumnal equinox, autumn. Another claim is that the pyramid was built in the year 2140 BC, and that in that year at midnight of the autumn equinox, the pole star, which at that time was Alpha Draconis, or the dragon star, shone down the pyramid's ascending passageway, while at the same time Halcyone was crossing the meridian of the pyramid to the south. Such positions, astronomically in relation to the pyramid, will not be repeated again until 25,694.5 years have passed. Other scientists state that since there is no way of knowing whether at the time of the building of the pyramid, the calendar was reckoned as we now reckon it, the date of its construction may have been 2144 BC instead of 24 BC, while, according to other viewpoints, the time of erection may have been 2900 BC. An interesting structural fact about the pyramid is that its four sides are not perfectly flat, but are slightly concave, as though hollowed out in the centers to a slight degree that is measurable. When the sun casts a shadow in a slanting angle on the sides of the pyramid, this slight hollowness of the sides is plainly visible. Ladies and gentlemen, that is it for tonight's broadcast, 19th January 2010, Tuesday, Part 4, in our series on the symbolic prophecies of the Great Pyramid. I want to thank you for tuning in this evening, and I hope you took the studious notes, and we'll continue on the next episode of this broadcast with, according to their own writings, what was done there, the mystery initiations.